Let me guess. Spring cleaning?
I can't deal with cleaning up. Let's sell the house.
All right, let's sell the house.
Her hobbies include cooking and cleaning for her two evil sisters. Please welcome Cinderella.
That boy is a P-I-G-P.
Everybody else, be as gross as possible.
Beautiful Arizona Saturday morning to you all. It's Rosie on the house to join the cleaning conversation of this hour's topic. It's 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. Text questions, 411-923. And of course, there's always the email info at rosieonthehouse.com. At the bottom of the hour news break, you guys kind of put together a little special offer there. It's not something we require or even do a lot at Rosie and Us, but you guys have a little spring cleaning special offer for the listeners?
Yeah, we wanted to let anyone listening to know that, you know, until May 15th, if they wanted to call and schedule and they mentioned Rosie Radio, we'll give them a $50 off, and that's $50 off. It's good as cash. So it'll go below our minimum charge. Usually we don't drop below a certain price, but same as cash, $50. So if they want to, you know, call in and schedule and make that Rosie Radio little ad thing, and we'll know they're from here, and everyone will be happy. They'll save $50.
Excellent. Give us that phone number again.
It's 602-996-6993.
And a lot of us are in the electronic world. They could even just, you've got a free quote application.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure you've got some spots, comments there. They could just type Rosie Radio there and still apply.
Yeah. It should work fine. Just like 2 weeks ago, we had issues with that. But yeah, it should work fine. If they don't hear back from us, call us.
They're very good about getting back to you, that's for sure.
Wonderful.
That's what we require from all our guys, don't we?
Now, mops. You guys have a...
Yeah, we're the thing with mops, people seem to think that, you know, the mop bucket and the string mop or the figure eight mop or whatever you want to call it is, you know, real successful and really good. The problem is, if you're using a mop bucket method, you're going from, you know, dirty floor and you're taking dirty mop and putting it in a clean bucket of water. And boom, you've just ruined your cleaning solution. If you're running any cleaning solution, like I said, we like water. I would like to get rid of those forever because those just spread dirt around. I mean, you would have to be super diligent about cleaning out your mop.
And now all you can find in the store, if you're just like in a regular store, would be those flat, stringy. Have you seen those? You're talking about the nice,
I like the flathead microfibers.
Industrial ones.
Yeah, the ones you can get at, you know, the big, you know, department stores, and you can get them anywhere now, but they're just flathead mops, and they have a little Velcro attachment at the bottom, and usually it's different colored microfiber heads. And I tell my clients to, you know, get 5 or 6 or 15 or 20, depending on how much hard floor you have, and a hand spray bottle. And if you need any kind of treatment, you use a hand spray bottle, and you do a dry dusting first to get all the dust off the floor, so again, you're not making mud. And then after you get done with that, you go through and you do the floor with just a light mist of water. Or, I mean, if you can afford a steamer, if you have a good steamer that's got different heads to it, you know, cloth heads, you can do that. Just make sure you change those cloth heads out frequently. If you see the commercials where they advertise those that have a chemical on them and they lift them up and they say, look how dirty it is underneath, you know, they should have changed that, like, you know, 20 minutes ago. It should never get that dirty.
And you're talking about hardwood floors right now, correct?
Or tile. Grout. Yeah, anything. I don't like the string mop on anything. I like the steamer on just about everything. That's going to be your best bet, because even with wood, it's not going to put so much down that it's going to damage the wood, and it's going to sanitize to a point. And if you have the cloth head, it's actually picking up, you know, dirt and gunk, and just make sure, like I said, you change it regularly.
Yeah, you can also launder the microfiber mops. You can peel them off the bottom of the stick from the microfiber. You can launder them, wash them in your washing machine. The only difference is on a microfiber, you don't want to use any fabric softener. You can let them air dry. You can put them in the dryer, but just don't put any softener sheets in there.
Does that kill their ability to pick up or absorb and all that?
Correct. That's exactly what it does. Is it actually puts, when you use fabric softener, it puts a little bit of a waxy ring on your clothes, on microfibers, whatever, so that it can't create a static charge. That's why you use microfiber when you wash clothes. You use the bounce sheet, stuff like that, so that you don't get the static off your clothes. But on a microfiber, you want it to cling. You want it to create that little bit of a static to attract the dirt and dust off the floor of what you're using it on. So what's nice about those is once they get dirty, you can take them over to a sink basin, and you can run water through them, wring them out, and you can actually put them back down on the mop and continue mopping your floor. Where you have a string mop, like Jason was talking about, and a dirty bucket, is your water is only clean once when you're using when you're using a mop and bucket, basically. So if you use a flat microfiber mop, you can take it over to the sink, wring it out, put it back underneath. You're still dealing with clean water then. You're not dealing with pulling dirty mop water out of a bucket, wringing it out, and slapping it back on the floor. That's already that's what causes grout to get dirty.
My house is cleaner already.
Well, I know you didn't want me to participate in this conversation because Jennifer thinks I'm getting wiggy.
Wiggy?
Wiggy. You know, most people's kitchen countertops has more germs on it than their toilet seat.
What? Where do you get your facts?
That's proven by study after study after study. As a matter of fact, do you know what the dirtiest inch in your house is?
Wait. Everyone that's chewing, let them swallow.
You're eating your breakfast. Mute.
Some people would say it's that inch, you know, on the floor back behind the toilet. No, that's not it. The dirtiest inch in your house is the little can opener razor disc that you use to open tuna fish, refried beans, and sliced jalapenos.
Well, Mike got that when he was back there doing the can opener. But
when's the last time you put your manual can opener through the dishwasher and had it sanitized? That thing is filthy. How about other hard to clean spots? Like how many times do you pull a refrigerator out and clean that area back there? Even clean up the coils on the back of your refrigerator if you have an older one. How about behind the dryer or the dryer vent? How about the top of your ceiling fan blades? How about your return air register? I mean, I think if people knew how dirty their homes were, they'd move out.
So is that our list for next week?
Now, a lot of cleaning services, though, don't do that. They don't move the furniture. They're one-man crews.
Correct. They are a lot of one-man crews. With us, we have two-man crews. Every time our company shows up, there are two men at your door putting on booties before we enter the house, and we walk through the client's home to see what they want done, and we always suggest, if it's been a year to 2 years since they've had their carpets cleaned, we always ask, when was the last time was the sofa moved? Or maybe the dressers or the nightstands, even the beds. People don't realize that time goes by, and they don't realize all the dust and dirt that can collect behind a dresser or a nightstand or even a headboard. And so all that dust and dirt gets there. You turn on your HVC system, and it creates air movement. And when it starts creating air movement, it starts getting behind there, and it picks up all that dust and dirt, especially this time of year with allergens. It gets into the air, and people have allergic reactions. So what we do is we actually offer to move furniture. We'll take and put them on sliders. We'll move them to the center of the room. We'll actually wipe down the back of the dresser, or the headboard, or a nightstand. Wipe down the baseboards, then we vacuum it, we pre-treat it, we scrub it, we clean it, and we slide it back, and then we put it on either little styrofoam blocks or plastic patches so that the wet carpet doesn't hurt the furniture and the furniture doesn't hurt the wet carpet. We'd recommend at least once a year on doing that. It helps with indoor air quality.
And y'all do furniture cleaning as well?
Yes, we do. Any type of furniture or mattresses. It's always wise to vacuum. A lot of people don't realize that you can vacuum furniture. So we recommend once a quarter to vacuum furniture. When you sit in it, the dogs might jump up in it. Our skins are oily, so a lot of times in the summer we wear shorts. The male, you know, we usually wear no shirts, sit down in them, we're sweaty coming outside. That oil transfers to the fabric, so that's got to be cleaned.
So but that sounds like more than a vacuuming job. What do you guys do? Like if I've vacuumed all I can vacuum, is there another step to that?
We can actually come in, do just like we do with the carpet. We come in and assess what needs to be done, and then we find out what the concerns are, whether or not maybe somebody had spilled a glass of wine and it ran down the back and now it's in on the cushion and the pad. You know, we can take care of that. But what we do is we actually pre-vacuum it ourselves, and then we pre-treat it, and we use towels or soft bristle brushes and work the pre-treat into the fiber of the carpet. And then we use a special attachment to our truck mount with warm water, depending on the material. We can use hot water or we have to use cold water. Silks you have to be very careful with, rayons, your satin, stuff like that. You have to be careful with how much heat you use on it. But a synthetic, you can use hot water up to 150 to 180 degrees. It actually helps remove a lot of the soil and oils that get trapped into the fibers.
Sounds like if you don't know what you're doing, you could make a big mess.
On furniture, if you don't know if it's natural or synthetic, you can screw up a sofa pretty quick.
Do you guys do leather?
You know, we do basic maintenance on leather, but it's stuff that, you know, to be honest, we'll get out there, and 90% of the time when it's leather, we teach the customer how to do it themselves. The ones we do it for are the ones that, you know, don't want to do it themselves, and they're willing to pay someone to do it. But it's literally, I mean, you just go online, you buy the products, and you follow the steps. I mean, it's pretty scary because the steps are right on there, they're on the bottle. So you could have Joe Blow out here, you know, not knowing what he's doing and just reading the bottle. How do I do this? Oh, okay, do that first. Okay. And he's reading the bottle, just looking at it, and he follows the directions on the bottle. But like I said, the restorative stuff, I mean, you almost have to find someone that can reupholster stuff because they have to almost take it off of the, you know, piece and stretch it out like on a canvas and treat the bad stains and then reupholster it. And that's just stuff we don't do.
All good arguments for not having upholstered furniture. We have, over the last 15 years, kind of inherited some upholstered furniture, and some of it's getting to the point where it's about ready to be refinished. And I haven't talked to Jennifer about this yet, but I know when we refinish it, it's all going to be in a luxury vinyl or a leather. I'm not going back to upholstered anything because I'm the kind of homeowner you guys love. My windows get opened in October, and I don't close them till April or May. And so it's a constant influx of all of the outside air.
Yeah, all those allergies.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, the dust builds up in places that, you know, you think, well, how did it even get back in under here? You know, what drew it there? And it's everywhere. Just, folks, if you think you have a clean house, go into your bathrooms and look up at the exhaust fan. And when you turn that exhaust fan on, a lot of those covers are plastic. It creates a static electricity, and those filters act like an air filter. I've gone into houses that are basically clean, and then you look at these forgotten spots that people have, and you go in the bathroom and you look at the exhaust fan, and it's so caked. No one's ever looked up. It's just so caked with that lint and fine Arizona dust. It's like, oh, man.
And that's one area y'all don't do is the ducts, right?
Yeah, no, we don't do duct cleaning because, you know, both of us don't like to be much higher off the ground than we can stand, so ladders are not preferred. And a lot of these houses, you know, they got really tall vaulted ceilings. And I'm a big guy. That's a hard fall.
Yeah, it's a hard fall. It's Rosie on the house, 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888. Rosie, for you.